The Old Testament lesson for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost comes from Genesis chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. This will also serve as our sermon text this morning. Here we see how God served Sarah with the encouragement of his word and sure promise. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he was sitting by the door to his tent during the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and he saw three men standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and he bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Now let me get a little water so that all of you can wash your feet and rest under the tree. Let me get some bread so that you can refresh yourselves. After that, you may go your way. That is why you have come to your servant." They said, "Yes, do as you have said." Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly prepare 20 quarts of fine flour, knead it, and make some loaves of bread." Abraham ran to the herd, brought a goat, a good tender calf, and gave it to the servant. He hurried to prepare it. He took cheese curds, milk, and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. He stood beside them under the tree while they ate. They asked him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" He said, "She is over there in the tent." One of the men said, "I will certainly return to you when this season comes around next year. Then Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Sarah was listening to this from the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well into old age. Sarah was past the age for childbearing. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I am worn out, will I have pleasure, since my Lord is also old?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really give birth to a child, though I am old?' Is anything impossible for the Lord? At the set time next year, I will return to you, and Sarah will have a son." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. Holy Spirit, open the eyes of our heart to know the hope to which you have called us. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, I've been told that Disney is the most magical place on earth. But I've also begun to hear the dirty little secret of parents that maybe it's more fun for the kids than for them. I was watching the comedian Jim Gaffigan. He has 5 kids, and he talked about going to Disney World. And he said, if you haven't been to Disney World, just imagine standing in line at the Secretary of State, and that's about it. And then he said, well, it was Orlando in July, so just imagine standing in line on the surface of the sun. He talked about how his kids were getting grumpy. And so he said, look, kids, you better enjoy this because it was either this or send you to college. And we chose this, so. And then he talks about his favorite ride. He says his favorite ride was the air-conditioned bus ride back to the airport because that meant they were leaving. It's the most magical place on earth, but he was a grown-up facing the grown-up realities, down-to-earth realities of cost and grumpiness and heat and all of that, and it kind of took away a little bit of the magic. Is that what church is like? My kids aren't perfect. They're sinful like every other child. But there are actual times where I say, church tomorrow, and they go, yay! Did you do that yesterday? Did I? Here's this wonderful place. Should be the most magical place on earth. But you could come in here and face the real realities, the grown-up realities of this place. You could think, well, this is a beautiful place, but this is also the place where I got kicked out of that pew because it was their pew. This is also the place where we had to sing that hymn. Yeah, that one. Impossible. And there's more serious realities. This is the place where I sat, and I prayed to God, and he didn't seem to answer. This is the place where I sit, and I'm looking for hope, and I'm looking for help, and I'm facing so much pain and my own sin that nobody seems to understand and nobody knows about, and I sit here, and I go home, and I still feel burdened. Is it losing its magic a little bit? It certainly was for Sarah in our Old Testament reading. She was in a magical place. You see it in the first verse already. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he was sitting by the door to his tent during the heat of the day. Whoa, that's magical enough by itself, right? The Lord appeared to Abraham. Of course, we're the only ones who know that at this point. The Holy Spirit gives us a preview. Abraham doesn't know for a few verses. But notice where the Lord appears, by the oaks of Mamre. That's a magical place. This isn't the first time we've encountered this place. In Genesis chapter 13, God appears to Abraham after he and Lot split up, and Lot chooses the good land, and Abraham gets the leftovers. And God appears to him and says, "Look around, Abraham. All of this is the promised land. All of it will belong to you and your descendants." And after that, Abraham makes his home by the oaks of Mamre and builds an altar, a church in response to God's promises. He praises him. What a magical place. And then God appears again. Genesis chapter 15, Abraham had just lost his nephew Lot. He was captured. Abraham went chasing, defeated four evil kings, and returned. And God appears to him again and says, "Abraham, I am your shield and your very great reward." But even then, you can tell that Abraham's getting a little jaded. "Listen, you made that promise a couple chapters ago." And he responds to God in a way I can't imagine responding as the Lord appears to you. He says, "Lord, what can you give me since I don't have a son?" And the Lord says, "Abraham, a child from your own body will be your heir." He repeats the promise there by the oaks of Mamre. But then Abraham and Sarah get a little jaded again because the promise isn't fulfilled. We're waiting for this promised child. It doesn't happen. And so, you know what? Let's just face reality. We live in the real world. Maybe God helps those who help themselves. Sarah gives her servant Hagar to Abraham as a surrogate mom, and they have the child Ishmael. And for 13 years, by the oaks of Mamre, where Abraham lives, he and Sarah are living one collective spiritual shrug. I know God made promises, but it's the real world. You know, Sarah's barren. We did what we had to do, and Ishmael's a good kid. You know, that's fine. And then in Genesis 17, the Lord appears again. He appears to Abraham, and he says, "Abraham, I am going to give you a son." And Abraham says, "No, it's fine, Lord. You know, we've kind of moved on. We're facing the facts. Ishmael's good. Let your blessing be on him." And God says, "I'll bless Ishmael, but no. I made a promise, and I'm going to keep it. You're going to have a son." And at that, the cynicism disappears, and Abraham believes, and he laughs the laugh of faith. He laughs. He says, "Let me get this straight. I'm going to be 100, and Sarah's going to be 90, and we're going to have a son." And God says, "Yes, and you're going to name him Laughter." And Abraham believes. In the oaks of Mamre, once more, the most magical place on earth, God is here with his promises. But not for Sarah. No. She's heard this promise before. She's gotten her hopes up. And she's faced more than 20 years of relying on God and facing shame and disappointment. "No thanks. I'm not getting my hopes up again." And so the Lord appears by the oaks of Mamre, Genesis 18, the most magical place on earth. And neither Abraham nor Sarah really know it. We get the hint here. The Lord appears, but for a few verses now, we don't know. He appears as three normal people. It's every day. It's real life by the oaks of Mamre. Let's face the facts. Three men appear in the heat of the day. All right, it's the desert, Eastern hospitality. They have to let him in or else they'll die in the sun. So Abraham goes out and he says, "My Lord," but it's the normal word for Lord. It's not the God word for Lord. And he bows down with his good hospitality and he says, "Please come in. Please." And he shows this incredible love. He washes their feet. He gives them what he calls a little bit of food. It's a feast, a fattened calf, tons of bread. He feeds them and he wants them to rest for a while, and it all seems normal. Every day, Abraham's working, Sarah's working. According to the custom of the day, three male visitors, Sarah has to stay in the tent. It's just normal. Another day by the oaks of Mamre. And then, one of the men, at least he looks like one, says, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" "How do you know her name?" "My wife, Sarah, you know her?" "Mm-hmm." Abraham says, "She's there in the tent." And one of these men, at least he looks like a man, says the most magical thing that could ever be spoken. "I will certainly return to you when this season comes around next year. Then Sarah, your wife, will have a son." He knows. He knows who she is. He knows what's going on in her heart. He even knows she's right behind that tent flap, close enough to listen as he makes this promise again to Abraham. And he knows all the objections that are right now going to come spilling out of her heart. You hear them pile up. Sarah was listening to this from the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old. How old were they? Well into old age. No, let's pile it on even more. Sarah was past the age for childbearing. You know what that means? She can't have kids. That's not enough. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I am worn out, will I have pleasure?" She says, "I'm like a worn out dish rag. And if all that wasn't enough, my Lord is old." In case you didn't get that part, my Lord is old. Real world reasons. Real doubt in her heart. And the Lord, who appears here in the form of a man, draws it all out. He knows. He wants it out in the open. He wants her to know that he knows. And he says loud enough for her to hear, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really give birth to a child though I am old? Is anything impossible for the Lord? At the set time next year, I will return to you, and Sarah will have a son.'" It seems crazy to Sarah that she could trust the Lord after all these years. And so she piles up her reasons. And the Lord, you know what seems crazy to the Lord? Is that she would doubt. "I'm old. So? I'm past the age of childbearing. So? Abraham's old. So? I'm worn out. So? Why did Sarah laugh?" It's like the Lord can't even understand. Why would you doubt? Why would you laugh? Is anything impossible for the Lord? No. Another way to translate that, is anything impossible for the Lord? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Maybe it wasn't wonderful enough for the Lord to have Sarah have a child at the normal time, in the normal way. It wasn't enough. It wasn't wonderful enough for him to give her a child at 80. No, no, no. He's going to wait till 90. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Can I turn your laughter of doubt into the laughter of faith? Of course. Promises. Promises made in the most magical place on earth. Turn her doubt, her laughter of cynicism, to laughter of joy. Genesis 18 turns into Genesis 21. And notice how Moses piles it on when he writes this. "Abraham named the son who was born to him, the son whom Sarah had born to him, laughter." That is, Isaac. Promises made and promises kept in the most magical place on earth. And just like that, all the magic is restored. God is here. That's this place today. It's easy to forget it. It's easy to lose it. Easy to be distracted. A few weeks ago, we had that district convention service, and a lot of pastors were in here who hadn't been here before, and it was awesome to see them look around and go, wow, this your church? Oh, yeah, this is my church. I built it. No, but I love it here. And you think, that can fade. It really can. Not just the wow of the architecture, but the wow of this place, what God does here. Just like it did for Martha, right, in the gospel reading. She had so much on her mind. She was so distracted, and it's real world stuff, and you have that too. Real work every day. Yes, real things you have on your mind. Real pain. Real doubt. Real reasons that you could come up with that you shouldn't trust God and his promises, and those come with you when you come into this place. So what does God do? Well, he comes again. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? God repeats this word, throughout the Old Testament. Too wonderful. Isaac is born. It's everything they dreamed. Sarah, God said, Sarah, you will have a son. Kings will be born from him. They were. And the king, Jesus, would come from him. And what would that king, Jesus, be called? Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He will be called Wonderful. Too wonderful for you to know sometimes, except through faith. Mary asked the same question, the Virgin Mary. It's just as impossible for her. Lord, I'm a virgin. Doesn't work that way. And God responds in the exact same way. Is anything impossible for the Lord? No. Is anything too wonderful? Could he send Isaac? Yes. Could he bring laughter of faith instead of laughter of doubt? Yes. Could he bring Jesus who would turn the darkest moments, turn even death to life and resurrection, to turn doubt to faith and doubt to hope? Jesus can do that. He's wonderful. He's too wonderful. And that's what God does for you here. In this place, nothing's too wonderful for him. It changes everything. It restores the magic. It's no longer every day, is it? Abraham and Sarah didn't even know for the first while here that they were eating dinner with God. They were serving him. Do you even know what's going on in your life when God is around and you're showing love to people and you're showing love to God? But more than that, can you even imagine what's happening here? That Jesus is here, hidden a little bit like he was there in Genesis 18, hidden in a little baptismal water in the Word. The inheritance that he gives you there. Too wonderful to know. Jesus is here with a little meal. Bread and wine. Can you understand? It's too wonderful. We know it only by faith. Jesus is here serving you. You can trust him. Think of a young couple, my wife and I, praying for a child. And you pray and you pray. And then God gave us a child and we were so happy. We made all the phone calls. And then the child died from a miscarriage pretty early on. And you think, see, this is why we don't get our hopes up. We prayed to you. Too wonderful for us to know. When Jesus reminds us in a place like this, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, reminds us, you can leave that child in my hands. It's too wonderful for you to know what I'm planning. And could we have known? He would answer our prayer, give us a little girl, Eliana. She's named My God Answered. That's why. Could we have imagined then? We got four now. Too wonderful for us to know. I have a teacher that I love. Growing up, she was a teacher for so many. She prayed for children. She could not have children. She could never have children. Did she know when she was praying early on that God was saying, I'm going to give you something more wonderful. I'm going to give you more children than the stars in the sky because all of her students wound up adopting her. We all love her, and she loves them. How many children does she have? I think of people in this congregation who have lost children at a young age. The pain you'd never wish on anyone. But is anything impossible for the Lord? Is it impossible for him to take those children entrusted to him through baptism and bring them to a place so wonderful that we can't even imagine? The place where we want all our children to be. That's your Lord. He is wonderful. Sometimes too wonderful for us to know, but not too wonderful for us to believe. Now, I don't know if Disney's the most magical place on earth. Sure, it's wonderful. But I'd rather be here this morning, because this, right now, through what Jesus brings, through his promises, is so wonderful. Yes, this place, this morning, it has to be the most magical place on earth. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.